Hello again and welcome to this program of Transforming Grace. It's being brought to you by the Institute for Biblical Preaching in Canada. And I'm with you from week to week. My name is Roger Pascoe and I welcome you today in the name of the Lord. And I trust that as we study God's Word together again today that your life will be changed by the grace of God and that you will be blessed by the Lord and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, for those of you who have been with us the past number of weeks and months will know that we're studying in John's Gospel, and we do so each time on this program each week. And if you've been enjoying these messages, why don't you invite a friend to listen as well? Or get together in a group and listen to the message and then discuss it afterwards to see how it applies to your own lives and how you can grow in your own spirituality and your walk with the Lord. That would be a great idea. Invite others to listen and get together with others to discuss the lesson that we have studied together. And if you are benefiting from these messages, why don't you write to the radio station that is carrying this message today and let them know that these messages are a blessing to you. We'd love to hear from you. Well, we're studying, as I say, in John's Gospel. We're in the 19th chapter, and we're going to begin today at verse 11. We're continuing to look at this intriguing dialogue between Pilate and Jesus that began back in the 33rd verse of chapter 18 of John's Gospel and continues through into chapter 19. And in this particular section, we're looking at the persuasion of power, and we're seeing how the power of public opinion persuaded Pilate. Then we looked at the power of fear that is instilled in Pilate by the Jews who were calling for Jesus' death, and fear that Pilate felt from his own ignorance of who Jesus was. We've also looked at the power of knowledge, how Jesus was silent in the presence of Pilate, not feeling the need to defend himself because of the security that came from his knowledge of who he was, where he had come from, and where he was going. And then we looked last time at the power of position as Pilate tries to intimidate Jesus, tries to get Jesus to answer him by saying to Jesus, "Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you or the power to release you?" That's the power of position. Pilate's saying, "I have the position and authority in the government here to either release you or to condemn you to death." So he is trying to force Jesus to answer him and to do what he wants him to do based on the power or authority of his position. And so that is what we're looking at in this conversation, the persuasion of power. And there are various pressures coming to bear here, particularly on Pilate, as he has to make this decision about Jesus. Well, we begin then in the 11th verse, and that's probably all that we will look at in this particular conversation. Starting in verse 10, then Pilate said to Jesus, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate, verse 12, sought to release Jesus, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend." Well, before we continue, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful word and the truth that it contains and this wonderful record that we have of Jesus and how he conducted himself under intense pressure. For Jesus could have turned back, he could have turned away, he could have done what Pilate asked him to do, and perhaps he would have been released. But he knew the heart of Pilate. He knew that Pilate had rejected the truth and that he was going to do what the people wanted him to do and not what was right. Well, help us to be convicted in our own hearts today that we would stand for what is right and not necessarily what is popular. Help us in this, I pray, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in contrast to the other powers that are being brought to bear and demonstrated here, the power of public opinion, the power of fear, and the power of position, we now see the power of God. Jesus says to him, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above." Jesus recognizes that Pilate's authority was restrained, it was held back by the hand of God. Pilate could do nothing unless God permitted him to do so. He could do nothing unless it was in accordance with the purposes and plans of God. In that sense, Pilate was simply an instrument in the divine purposes of God, in the eternal purposes of God in redemption. And in this sense, his claim to authority was not true. His authority did not come from his position as governor. It didn't come from his position or authority that was vested in him by the Roman Empire. Jesus is reminding him that true authority, true power, comes only from God. And when it comes to dealing with Jesus, when it comes to God's eternal purposes in Jesus, when it comes to God's redemptive plans and purposes in Jesus, the authority that Pilate acted upon could only come by the hand of God. Pilate's authority then under the Roman government was restrained by the hand of God. It was controlled by the hand of God. And so Jesus breaks his silence, but only to defend the truth. You see, in verse 9, Jesus gave him no answer when Pilate asked, "Where are you from?" But now he breaks that silence, but only not to defend himself, but to defend the truth. The truth is that all authority is derived from God. Even the governments of the world derive their authority from God, for God establishes human government. It's not that all governments are necessarily governed in accordance with God's will, for many of them, of course, do not. But the ultimate authority for their existence is derived from God. Pilate only had delegated authority for which he was responsible to God. I don't suppose Pilate ever thought about his responsibility to God. I don't suppose Pilate ever thought that he would ultimately have to give account to God for the decision that he made this day. But the truth is that all authority is derived from God. None of us exists on our own account. We did not create ourselves. We do not have any authority except as God gives it to us. And we're responsible to God for that. The authority that God gives us is to act in accordance with his will and in his name. So Jesus breaks his silence only to defend the truth. The truth is that all authority is derived from God, and the truth is that those who wield authority should do so under and for God. Pilate, the Romans, and all the people needed to know this, that they needed to exercise authority under and for God. For authority that is not exercised under God's will and for God's glory is an authority that is contrary to God and opposed to God, and that could only come from Satan himself. But all true and ultimate authority only comes from God. The truth is that those who exercise authority should do so and must do so under and for God, and that applies to the governments of our day. Our government here in Canada is responsible ultimately to God, and one day God is going to hold them accountable for the decisions that they make, for the laws that they bring into existence, and for the way that they have governed this country, and similarly in your country. The powers that be are ordained by God, and they are accountable to God. The truth is that Pilate had the right to exercise jurisdiction over Jesus. Certainly, within the Roman Empire, he had the right to do so, but he must exercise justice and remember where his power ultimately comes from. The truth is that a far higher authority than Caesar's was at work here. In verse 12, the Jews cried out, "If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." And so you see they're appealing to the power and the position and the prominence of Caesar to get Pilate to do what they wanted to do. And certainly Caesar had power. Certainly under Caesar's authority, Pilate could condemn Jesus to death. We're not denying that, but there is a far higher authority than Caesar's, and Caesar's authority and the Roman Empire's authority ultimately comes from God. And when Pilate is acting here, he's only doing so because God was making all things work out for his own purposes. And the purpose of God here was to bring Jesus to the cross. The purpose of God here is that ultimately Jesus must bear the sins of the world. Ultimately, Jesus is the one who is sent by God in order to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the only way he could save us is if he paid the penalty for our sins, and the penalty for sin is death. For the Bible says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." God said that to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In other words, death would come in. There would have been no death if sin had not come in. So the consequence of sin entering the world was death. And Jesus is going to the cross in order to die, to pay the price for my sins, to pay the penalty for my sins, so that I would not have to die on account of my sins. That's what salvation is. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness comes only through the work of the cross. Forgiveness only comes because another has paid the price for my sins. And Jesus was the only one who was acceptable to God to pay the price for our sins. He was the only perfect man. And it was a perfect man who had to be our substitute. You couldn't offer the substitute of another sinner. That would not have been sufficient, for that sinner must die anyway for his own sins. But Jesus did not need to die for his own sins, for he had no sin. Neither was there any deceit in him. And so the purpose of God was to bring Jesus to the cross. It says in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22, Peter is speaking and says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death." You notice that phrase? Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. Then it goes on in the next verse, verse 24, "whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And so you see, God was in complete control of the destiny of Jesus. He was delivered to Pilate and ultimately to the cross by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. And even though Pilate was the instrument by which that happened, Pilate didn't have ultimate control or power, but God did. This was the fulfillment of God's eternal purposes in Christ, that he should go to the cross to pay the price for our sins. I hope that you know that, if you're listening today. I hope you know that Jesus paid the penalty for your sins, and I hope that you know him as your Savior and trusting him for what he's done and taking your place before God. while Pilate represented the lower power of men. For it was indeed a lower power. The higher power is the power of God. The lower power of men was the power to scourge Jesus. It was the power to crucify Jesus. It was the power, if Pilate had so chosen, to release Jesus. That was the lower power of men. That was the power that Pilate had from his position and from the ruling powers of that day, the Roman Empire. In other words, the power to carry out their governmental orders, but all under the direction and power of God. Jesus represented the higher power, the power of God. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus says, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." You see, Jesus has the power of life and the power of death. You would agree, wouldn't you, that the power of life and death is ultimate power. That is the highest power. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I've received of my Father," John chapter 10 and verse 18. And so Pilate couldn't take it from him, other than the fact that he had derived power from under the authority of God's purposes. He said to John on Patmos, Jesus said, "I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Revelation 1 and verse 18. Jesus has the power of life and death. You see, the irony of this situation is that Jesus had a power that was far higher than any power that Pilate had. He had the power of life and death. Jesus said in John 11 and verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Jesus has the power of life and death. Oh, Pilate may have the authority under the Roman government to condemn Jesus to death and have him crucified, but he was crucifying the very one who had the ultimate power of life and death. And Pilate himself one day would stand before God and answer for this decision that he made concerning Jesus, and answer for his sins. Jesus then has a power so much higher than Pilate's, and yet he submits himself to the decision of Pilate because that was carrying out God's eternal plan. Jesus has the power of life and death. He has the power of life. Our breath is in his hands. The Bible says, "In him we live and move and have our being," Acts 17 and verse 28. And he has the power of death. You see, those who die without Christ are one day going to stand before Jesus as their judge at the great white throne. And they're going to be held accountable for all of their actions, every thought that they had, everything that they said, and everything they did. And they're going to be found sinners. And Jesus will cast them into eternal death, cast them into the lake of fire. He has the power of life, and he has the power of death. Jesus has the power to forgive sins. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, Matthew 9 and 6 says. We all need to have our sins forgiven. That comes from Jesus. He has the power to forgive sins. He has the power to heal sicknesses. Mark 3 and verse 15 tells us that. That's why he could send out the 12 disciples with the power to heal sicknesses. And Jesus has the power over all creation. He is the one who made the worlds by the word of his power, Hebrews chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3 tell us. He has the power of final judgment. John 5 and verse 22 says the Father has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. And in the final judgment, the dead, small and great, will stand before him, Revelation 20 and verse 12 says. And then the prophecy will come true. They will look on him whom they pierced. The very people who put Jesus to death will look on him in that day, and he will stand before them as their judge. Well, our final authority then is God himself. Here Pilate contested Jesus' authority, claiming to have a higher authority, but his authority was very limited, and it was derived from God anyway. And when any other authority conflicts with God's authority, God's word is always our ultimate guide. We must obey God rather than men, Acts 5 and verse 29 says. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin, Jesus says in this verse 11. In other words, Pilate, Jesus said, you don't have power at all against me except God gives it to you. But the religious leaders, represented by Caiaphas, they have the direct authority from God, and therefore they have much greater responsibility for their actions. They are the ones who are established by God. The religious leaders, Caiaphas and the rest, they have direct authority from God. They're the ones with the greatest responsibility for their actions because they acted with the full knowledge of what they were doing. They acted with the full determination to carry out this wicked act. They had initiated this trial and they had trumped up the charges against Jesus. They were the ones who had committed a felony by handing over Jesus on a charge they had not proven and couldn't prove because it was not true. The religious leaders, they had sinned spiritually by condemning Jesus for being the Son of God, even though that was the truth. For a Jewish high priest to deliver the Jews' Messiah to the Romans for execution was a more grave sin than for the Roman governor to sentence him to death. And that's what they were doing here. The Jewish high priest had delivered the Messiah, the one who was sent from God, the one who was anointed by God to save his people from their sins. He was the one that had delivered Jesus for execution. That was a far more grievous sin. It was they, the religious leaders, who ultimately led him away and gave him to the Roman soldiers to carry out the act of crucifixion. Even so, Pilate's sin, while it is the lesser, was nonetheless real, and he was responsible for it. His sin was his violation of justice. He had been given authority from God and had failed to use it properly, and so Jesus' bold rebuke here in verse 11 intensifies Pilate's fear and drives him to more earnestly seek Jesus' release. What a pitiful figure Pilate really is. He typifies humanity, torn between doing what is right and preserving his own status, torn between public opinion about Jesus' guilt and his personal opinion about Jesus' innocence, torn between fear of the religious leaders and fear about who Jesus might be, torn between commitment to Rome and commitment to Jesus, torn between pleasing the people and doing what is right. And it all comes down to a matter of power. The conflict of kingdoms that we noticed in chapter 18 is ultimately a matter of conflicting powers. The conflict between political power, people power, and the power of God. A conflict between religious power and the truth of God. Whose authority and power are you under? The power of Satan or the power of God? The power of Satan is evident in the world. Many today are under the power of alcohol and drugs, and all who are not living for Christ are under the power of sin and Satan. And Satan is walking about through the world seeking whom he may devour, the Bible says, but the power of God is greater than Satan. And Jesus Christ has overcome death and Satan at the cross, and the results of his victory are available to you today. The Apostle Paul says in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Do you believe today? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And if so, are you living in the confidence and assurance that God is in control, that He is sovereign, that He is above all things, that despite the governments who misuse their authority and do not act in accordance with the rule and will of God, that God is in control. And one day he's going to bring everything into order and into line with his will. And all creatures will bow to him. Have you done so today? May you do so by the grace of God and live in the power of God and for the glory of God. May God bless you until we're together again the next time on this station.